The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
Right, welcome to episode 271, I hope. I forgot to look before we got started, but I believe it is. That's how professional I am, Daniel. But today I have my friend Daniel Eric Bowling on the show. If that name sounds familiar, a few weeks ago, Daniel actually interviewed me for a school project. So Daniel, actually, welcome to my show.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. And Daniel, this was your idea too, and I think it's a great idea. You're not a detailer. You actually don't know much or maybe anything about detailing. But I thought, after you had posed the idea, actually, I don't want to really take any credit for it because it was your idea. But you can ask some really good questions, and you are probably the typical customer for a lot of these people and a lot of these detailers, actually, that gosh, I'm messing that all up. But basically, you're going to ask questions that a typical customer would ask a detailer. I will answer them like a detailer, and then hopefully that'll give other people some tips, tricks, advice on how to handle customers.
Sounds good to me. And you hit it right on the head. I'm the typical, bordering DIYer or customer. Probably try it myself first and then decide to hire somebody.
Yeah. But before we get into that, why don't you just give everyone, even though you're not a detailer, give everyone kind of your background and where you're at, where you're from, what you do, all that.
I currently live in Cincinnati, Ohio. We just moved back and forth to Columbia, South Carolina for a couple years and just came back. But I do upholstery. I build furniture, custom furniture, and reupholstery. Do some automotive. And really, just the knowing a trade, I felt like there was more to it and there's other skill sets out there. And that's how I met Jimbo, because I started a podcast interviewing other tradesmen, I guess, because my podcast is called Smart Tradesmen. So basically, I'm just learning or having conversations with other tradesmen, hearing about their skill sets and how our businesses really model after each other, even though they're unrelated. And there's a lot that we can learn from each other. So just really connecting to other people out there, like your listeners who are detailers running their own service-based business. I'm struggling in the same ways. So this excites me to hear about your business.
100%. And I always gripe on guys and tell them, you know, if you don't know how to run a business, it doesn't matter how good you are at your trade or your skill or specifically detailing, because you won't have any customers to show off your skills on, you know? So it's talking about business really interests me and fascinates me. And that's what I like kind of about what you're doing.
Yeah. And then just as everybody heard a few weeks ago, you helped me get an A on an assignment because I was so interested in business. I decided to go to take online classes for business.
It's probably the first A I've ever gotten. And that was an assist.
An assist, it matters. It helped me a lot.
Good. So let's get right into it. You have some questions jotted down, and so go for it.
Well, basically, I'm probably going to border between questions for like a DIYer,
sure,
somebody like a hobbyist with their own cars, and then somebody starting out.
Perfect.
Because I'm sure there's a difference, but there's a learning curve that they both would have to get over.
Perfect.
So if any of my questions have different answers, if you're speaking to a hobbyist versus somebody just starting out, then you'll have to tell me the split answer.
Sure.
So when you talk about auto detailing, are you talking about interior and exterior?
Yes, mainly. But those could be separated as well. So and for professionals, some guys will only do exterior. Even some detail shops will only do exterior detailing and won't really do any interior detailing. But I would venture to say the majority of shops, mobile detailers, detailers as a whole, are going to be doing interior and exterior.
As far as skills, like, was there one that takes more skill than the other?
You know, that's an interesting question, because it probably depends on who you ask, because each interior detailing and exterior detailing both have their kind of learning curves. And what it comes down to is how, I call it, how detailed you want to get, because there's kind of like an overview of detailing, and then there's kind of like the getting in the weeds of detailing and talking about like the, like real, real small imperfections in the paint that you, Daniel, might not even be able to see, but a detailer may be able to see, you know? So, I want to be a more well-rounded detailer. So I think, you know, someone that does, say they do interior only, I think there's a huge gap in their game, because if they got a customer that wanted to do the exterior and they weren't at least, you know, efficient and couldn't deliver a decent result on the exterior, that would be a huge gap, you know, in their game. Or vice versa, if they only did exteriors, you know, and more people will only do exteriors than people doing only interiors. You know what I mean? So, I think it's more valuable and you're a better asset as a detailer if you're more well-rounded and can do interior and exterior, and you're efficient, effective, and can produce, both in and out of the car. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Sounds and feel more free to ask, you know, feel free to ask kind of segue questions too, if I'm not being clear.
No, I think that was a good answer. And as far as, so if I'm a DIYer, I guess that's the right term.
Yeah.
Do it yourself.
Yeah.
How much should I expect to spend on a decent setup?
You know, I guess all the answers to these questions might be, it depends. Because and this is a big misconception that, I'm glad we're doing this, because a lot of customers don't really realize how detailed you can get, you know, and how elaborate and how many, you know, there's not, one of the biggest misconceptions that I run into with my customers is that there's not a just simple answer to really any of the questions that they have. And so it has all these factors into it, you know, nothing is black and white. So, you know, you can get started for a DIYer or a driveway detailer, as sometimes I call them on the podcast, you know, for, you know, probably $40, maybe even less, you know. Are you going to be able to do a super high level, super high caliber detail? No, but are you going to be able to wash your car? Are you going to be able to put a coat of spray wax on your car? Are you going to be able to, you know, clean out the cup holders, get the dust off the dashboard, maybe clean down some door panels, you know, put shiny stuff on the tires. Yeah, you know, you're for under $40, and that's going to be a one-time purchase that you're going to be able to do your car multiple times. You know, that's not like a one-and-done deal. You can, you know, I've wanted to challenge myself and see how cheap you could actually start a detailing business for. Like how cheap could you go and buy just the bare necessities of product to go out there and make money, you know? And I figured for under $100, you could buy enough product to go out there and charge someone at least $100 on that first quote unquote detail, you know, and start making money, which is the good part and the bad part about this industry, is that the barrier to entry is just so low, You know, probably even with that $40, you could start making money, to be honest.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next follow-up question. So that's good that you covered that. I was curious to see how it compared to your advice to somebody just starting out and wanting to do it as a career.
Yeah, listen, it's not going to be easy, and you're not going to have the best stuff starting for $100, obviously. But a lot of people also get hung up on, a lot of detailers talking to the professionals now, get hung up on they need to spend $25,000, $30,000. They need, you know, all this equipment, all this stuff. And it's just, it would be nice, and yeah, things would be smoother, but if you're not in that position to be able to afford that, there are less expensive alternatives to at least get started. And you know, from our last conversation, that's kind of my thing, is just start, you know. But to just really get started and start making money, because at the end of the day, like we started this conversation again, it's more about your business skills than your actual detailing. Now, that statement is really controversial, but if you think about that as it relates to product, and this could be detailing product or just products in general in everyday life, the marketing behind the product is more important than the product itself. Would you agree with that, Daniel?
Yeah, and I think that that's the whole idea behind a name brand, where you're paying $100 more for something and it's essentially going to do the same thing.
Exactly. So a lot of what will differentiate detailers, and this is what I'm going to be honest, detailers have this a little backwards. You know, they think, well, as long as I'm the, and I kind of almost cringe as they say this because I'm worried that I'm going to get so much negative feedback, but it's just the honest truth that the more marketing behind someone or something or some business, the better it's going to do, not necessarily how good it performs. Now, with that said, I'm not recommending people completely suck at, you know, detailing a car if they're looking at doing this professionally, but you're constantly learning in your skill set, you know. So if your marketing and branding, like you said, and all that is on par, it's gonna matter less, at least in the beginning, how good you are. Now, with that said, you know, as you know with your business, Daniel, word travels fast if you suck. So you still need to be good. But
yeah, you have to follow it up with happy customers. I mean, when you're talking about growing a business, the marketing and everything, like that's what you need help with. The fact that you know your job, that's a given. You have to we have to assume you know what you're doing, and right, you're going to get better as you go. But when it comes to growing your business, that's what you can get help with, and that's what you need to focus on, because it's just a given that you got to get better at your skill set as you move forward.
Right. Exactly. And a lot of detailers will spend a lot of money and focus heavily on bettering their skills as a detailer and don't apply that same amount of energy, effort, money, time into the business aspect of it. And I know we're kind of getting off on a little tangent and going a little businessy, but that's kind of up my alley, is you need to focus on the business side of stuff as well, you know, because for detailers, Daniel, passion is a huge driving force with them. So a lot of these guys that are wanting to start their own detailing business is because they already detail their own cars. They already detail their family's cars. They already know what they're doing, and they're already really good at it. And that's been the shocking thing for me, is that a lot of these guys that reach out to me, and they're thinking about making this jump into full-time detailing, they already have all the skills necessary to go out there and perform as a detailer. But then what happens is they'll spend, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $10,000 and go get additional training on how to detail a car because they're not confident in their abilities already, even though they're already good. And then they go to that training, whatever the training that is, I'm not picking on one particular trainer, training school or any of that, but the training school doesn't teach them anything about running a business. So then they come out and they know how to shampoo a mat really, really good, but they have no idea how to talk to that customer and explain to the customer that, hey, maybe that driver's side mat has more, or here, let's bring it into your world, Daniel, that leather seat on the driver's side can't be cleaned all the way because the dye has actually been removed from the seat and it's cracked. You know what I mean? So they would come out of the school knowing that they can clean the leather seat, but not know how to communicate to the customer that that seat can't, is not going to look like it did when you bought the car. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I think that nothing trumps actual experience. And when you're talking about small businesses and a service-based business, especially, I think a lot of people admire that. I kind of just take projects. I do furniture. I do here, this there. It's not really, I don't consider it a business. It's a job for me, but it's very well-rounded. And right. Everybody's like, well, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, you find somebody that needs something done and you charge them for it. Right. So if it's like a DIYer, I mean, they got good. I'm glad you brought that up because in my head, I thought that was probably a clear transition. It's like somebody gets really good. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
My GarageBand stopped recording.
Ugh. Well, I'm recording this whole time, so if you need, I could just shoot.
That's what I was thinking. It's just good.
Yep.
So I'm glad you brought that up because in my head, it is a clear transition over from a DIYer learning and perfecting it, has a passion, yep. Decides they want to start charging for it. Mm-hmm. The next step is start charging for it.
Exactly. Exactly. So. Exactly. And it is literally that simple. And I'll be honest, a lot of guys start that way. You know, they're in a corporate job that they hate, you know, and their passion has always been cars. And they started this little side business and they do it on Saturday and Sunday and they love it. And they're starting to make more money Saturday and Sunday than they do all week, you know. But then there's this little area in between where you start really playing burnout because you're working 7 days a week now and you got family and a wife and kids and all that. And it gets extremely hard. And then, as you know, and I'll use this term because I know you listen to a lot of people, the same people I do, they have the golden handcuffs, you know. So their secure job Monday through Friday, even though they don't like it, it's too secure, you know. And then they got this little fledgling detailing business on the weekends that they could really take full time, but they don't know how. And, you know, I see a lot of guys get stuck in that circle, you know.
All right, so let's bring it back to the actually detailing the car.
Let's do it.
So, I mean, there's a million different products. There's a sure. million different techniques, approaches. But, I mean, let's say I'm just ready to start. Walk me through where you begin. I mean, is it rinsing, washing it down, tires? Just what does it look like to detail a car?
Sure. So do you want to start on the inside or outside? Or are you talking about doing the full thing?
Well, if you had a customer that wanted both done, where mm-hmm. would you start?
Okay. So I'd probably start on the inside. And the reason being is that the inside is probably going to be a lot dirtier than the outside. But what the customer is going to see first when you're done is the outside. So you want the, you know, if you're in an area that's kind of dusty or whatever, you don't want to do the outside first and then go spend 2 or 3 hours or more on the inside. And then when you go to deliver that car, the outside of the car has been able to sit for a while and accumulate dust or whatever. Now, if you're, I guess I look at this through the lens of a mobile detailer doing this outside. So if you're doing it in a garage or a shop or whatever, you may want to do the outside first. But there's more to that than just the car getting dusty from the elements. And that's the fact that if you do the outside first and then go to work on the inside, there's, you know, chances are there's going to be chemicals flying all over the place and product dripping. And the chance of you messing up your work on the outside is greater when you're working on the inside if you do the outside first. So all that to say, I recommend doing the inside first. And I work from top down. Now, the first thing on the top would be the headliner. I try to talk people out of doing the headliner unless it's really dirty and then I spot clean it. But what can happen with the headliner is if you're using like a really aggressive brush or a lot of cleaner, is that it can actually seep beneath the fabric of the headliner and separate the glue. And actually, Daniel, you may know more about that than I do.
I got to be honest. I hate doing headliners.
Yeah.
Well, once they're out, it's not a problem. But you got to think about when they go into the car, a lot of them in the factory, I'm guessing they don't have windshields in yet. Mm-hmm. So they go right in.
Mm-hmm.
To get them out, you got to get all the clips off without breaking it, take everything apart.
It's a nightmare.
Fold it up to get it out from around the seats and through the door.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
And so I don't take out headliners, but I don't want the risk of the headliner starting to sag after I'm done with the detail. So I'll actually walk the customer through that. And so chances are, yeah, there's precautions that you can take to make sure that doesn't happen and yada, yada, yada. But we won't get into the weeds on this one because it's not necessary. So,
well, I appreciate it because I don't want to have to redo them because they suck.
Yeah, exactly. And I just don't want to, I don't want the liability from that. I don't want the customer in 6 months, their headliner's sagging and they blame it on the detailer, you know. So I make sure I'm clear with the customer about that and try and talk them out of it. But what I'll do is start on, say, the driver's side of the car, okay, and I'll do that whole area. So I'll do that, you know, start with the dashboard, and I'm using an all-purpose cleaner and a microfiber towel. You can do a lot of cleaning with just an all-purpose cleaner and a microfiber towel inside your car. So, and you want to have common sense. You don't want to scrub anything too long. You don't want to saturate anything too much. You know, you really want to work from like the least aggressive, least abrasive way, and then slowly get more aggressive as you, you know, work through on that stain or whatever. So, but I normally start in the driver's side, and I'll do like dashboard, steering wheel column. You know, a lot of people have a lot of buildup on like the blinkers and the windshield wiper knobs, or for people that have like the volume controls and stuff on the steering wheel, the high touch points usually have a lot of buildup on that. So I'll work through that. I'll start to do the center console a little bit, but focus more on the door panel, clean that all up. Then I'll step out of the car and assess the seats and the mats and underneath the mats and along the side of the center console. And then take that same method and then go to the rear of the driver's side car, and then go to the passenger side rear, and then the passenger side, and kind of try as much as possible to work in like a smooth, efficient manner around the car. But the first step will be like the general cleaning. So I'll do like the first time around the car will be like the general wipe down, you know, get the bulky majority of the stuff, right? And then after I get the majority of the stuff, then I'll vacuum. Okay, so because that's easy. If there's a lot of buildup in the cup holders or in the door panels, there's a lot of crumbs, a lot of crap. I'll do like my initial wipe and then vacuum because I'll vacuum up all that stuff. So, and a tip for vacuuming, you want to push the seats, the front seats, push them all the way back when you're working in the front row of the car, and then push the seats all the way up when you're working in the back of the car. Does that make sense?
Because, yeah, it's something simple, but I'm sure that helps a lot.
Yeah, but it helps you get underneath the seat and between the seat without having like crevice tools or, you know, additional tools. So then I'll vacuum and then I'll go back through. And if the car needs it, this is where I'll do the more aggressive cleaning. And this is maybe where I'll incorporate a brush to scrub down the door panels or scrub the mats if they need to be done or scrub the seats if they need to be done. This is kind of, again, working from least aggressive to most aggressive, depending on the condition of the car. Then I'll do that. And then, you know, as a professional, you may have additional tools like a carpet extractor, a steamer, something, you know, additional tools to help you. But if you're a DIYer, you may just have all-purpose cleaner, maybe some carpet cleaner, and a stiff bristle brush, and a vacuum, and you can do a lot of damage with that. Not damage in a good way, damage in a bad way, but also damage in a good way. And then after I go around the whole inside of the car like that, then it's going to be the final, you know, if you want to put a dressing or a protectant on the dash, or you know, a lot of times in the cup holders, it'll just be like a black plastic. You could put a little dressing in there to make those pop a little bit. A little dressing on the plastic parts, on the seats, door panels, stuff like that. Kind of the final touch, you know, will be on that third time around. Any questions on that?
No, I think that's a pretty good step-by-step.
Okay. And this is more of an overview because, you know, detailers will be listening to this and being like, well, you missed this and you missed that. And it's like, yeah, but part of running a business is knowing your audience. And so I know a customer, and you're not going to want to get bogged down of like, okay, now use this crevice tool and do this and then break out your steamer and your extractor and do this and then pre-treat. You know, it's like, so this is a general overview for everyone screaming at me. So then
I think when you do a good job, that there's a million things that the customer doesn't know that you did, but they would only see it if there was a problem.
Exactly. So the last tip for the interiors that I always do is I always sit in each seat of the car and act like I'm a passenger or the driver and look around. Because if you sit in the... It gives you a different perspective inside the car, and you're taking the perspective that your client will have or you will have when you're driving the car or when your passengers are in the car. And then I start doing stuff that I would do as a passenger. So I sit in the passenger seat or the driver's seat or the rear seat, and I'll flip down the visor and open the mirror, or I'll, you know, look up, look down, look to the side, and kind of make sure, you know, grab for the seatbelt and make sure that's all clean, and kind of act like I was a passenger to make sure that I cleaned everything that a normal person in the car will be experiencing.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Sounds like experience talking.
Yeah, so that's something that I like to do.
What about Armor-All?
So there's
like
there's a big
glossy look.
Yeah, so there's a big misconception about, and Armor-All is like the most common term that customers use, and you could sub the term Armor-All for, an interior UV protectant, you know, and that's fine. When customers say Armor-All, I say, yeah, sure. Am I using Armor-All? I'm not, but does Armor-All make a decent product? Probably. You know, for a DIYer, the company Armor-All has an interior protectant that will probably produce some shine. The thing I don't like about a lot of interior dressings that are glossy is they attract dust. So you clean it, it looks really nice and shiny, but it's almost kind of tacky, so it attracts a lot of dust. So I actually go for, and on my customers' cars as a professional, I go for more of a satin look because it looks clean, and I tell my customers it looks factory. So that's the look I kind of go for. I used to really like the high gloss, and some guys will even use like the same tire dressing and put it on the dashboard. That's kind of a hack move, but hey, I've done it. So that gets into kind of a preference thing. You know, if you like shiny or not shiny, or, and every customer has their own preference. So as a professional, when I'm doing like an evaluation of the car, I'll ask the customer, oh, do you like your interior dash shiny, or do you like it more factory stock look? Do you like your tires shiny, or do you like them a more matte factory look? And I have some customers that don't even want any tire shine. They just want their tires just how they are. You know, because they don't want the tire shine to fling down the side of the car when they leave, you know. So that's kind of a preference thing.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the high gloss, especially on tires.
Yeah, see, exactly. See, now me, I love, like, on tires, the glossier the better. So, but my preference towards that is slowly changing as well. I like a little bit less gloss. But when I started, it was like, I don't care how much it flings on the side of my car. Just, I want it freaking bling bling. So,
what about the rims? Like, do you have a suggestion to get those real shiny?
So, moving to the outside of the car, the rims, I would start main. And there's a million. Oops, sorry for hitting the mic. There's a million different products out there to clean a rim. And there's consumer grade stuff, and then there's professional grade stuff. Now, with the advent of stuff like Amazon.com, I recommend that consumers or DIYers just go to Amazon.com and buy professional grade stuff. And here's why. You're going to get more bang for your buck. A lot of the products at, you know, O'Reilly's or AutoZone or any auto parts store for the consumers are just going to be watered down professional line stuff. Now, that's not necessarily always true. I get it. But most of the time it is. So why pay more for a watered down version of the stuff that you can get on Amazon? So, and I have a full list of all the products I recommend at AutoDetailingPodcast.com/resources, and it'll all redirect to Amazon. So for the majority of cars on rims, you can get away with using an all-purpose cleaner. And you spray the whole rim, let it dwell, don't do it in the sun, and then wash it down with a hose. Sometimes they have stuff called wheel woolies, basically wheel brushes, or you can just soak like a microfiber towel. Pre-soak the rim with your all-purpose cleaner, take your wet microfiber towel in your hand, clean the rim, and then rinse it down. But you can use that same all-purpose cleaner that you used on the inside to clean your carpets, mats, seats, door panels, cup holders. You can use that same all-purpose cleaner on your rims. You know, or you could also use it for bugs on the front of your car. Now, an all-purpose cleaner on the paint of your car will strip the wax, so you want to be, you know, putting some sort of paint protection on top of it after you do it. But for the rim specifically, you just want to be doing an all-purpose cleaner is pretty much where you start. Now, there are more aggressive wheel cleaners that you can use, but honestly, for DIYers, I don't really recommend those. So, yeah.
I realized I might have skipped ahead on the steps of the outside of the car. So, where do the rims fall into place? Where would you start?
Actually, you could start with the rims if you wanted to, and kind of that's mainly the dirtiest part of the car. You can start there and just kind of get that out of the way, you know. But for washing, again, there's, you could do a waterless wash. You could do, which would be a spray bottle and a towel. And in the most basic form, you're spraying down a panel and wiping it with a towel. Okay. So no hose, no rinsing, no nothing involved. Okay. And then you can do what's called a rinse-free wash. And this is going to be actually having a bucket with water and a solution in it and a sponge. But you're not going to be rinsing the car. You're going to be washing the car as if you rinsed it, but you're not actually rinsing the car with the hose. You're actually just taking your sponge that's in the bucket of water and solution and going on the dry car. Sounds like you're scratching it, but if you watch some videos, and it's actually legit. Not going to work if your car is really muddy, has a ton of salt on it, super dirty. Okay. And then the next step from that would be what you would probably know is like a traditional car wash. So you're going to rinse the car, then you're going to have a bucket, or a detailer may have two buckets to wash their car. A sponge, car wash soap, not Dawn or dishwashing soap, because that'll strip the wax off your car. But you're going to have a car wash soap, and you're going to rinse the car, soap it, and rinse it. And those are pretty much the three options you have. I guess there would be a fourth option for more intense enthusiast, and that would be, they call it foaming a car. And maybe you've seen pictures or videos of this on Facebook, Daniel. Maybe you haven't. You're attaching a foam cannon on top of a pressure washer or a hose nozzle and essentially putting soap that is under high concentrate, and you're soaping the car as you rinse it at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I have seen pictures of it, but I didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, so one way of washing the car. So Depending on where you are in the world, condition of the car, you could choose from those. Some people will wash their car in more of a traditional manner once or twice or once a week or once a month or every other week, and then maintain it with something like a waterless wash or a rinse-free wash every couple days. So that's an option too.
How do I get rid of the bugs?
There are bug removers, bug remover products, but honestly, you can take that all-purpose cleaner that you use for your rims, and spray it right on the paint. Don't do it in the sun. Don't let it dry, but it'll loosen up the bugs. And there are bug sponges that you can use, after you pre-soak it with the all-purpose cleaner, but I would just pre-soak it, hit it with your hose, and then wash the car as you normally would. And then what I really like is after each car wash, wiping down the car with just like a quick spray wax, because it's not the best form of paint protection that you can have, but it is putting some sort of paint protection on the car, and it's super, super simple to do. You could spray wax your whole car in 3 minutes, you know? So after I wash the whole car, what I like to do is add a nice spray wax to it. Just because it's adds a little bit of gloss to the car. And just again, adds some sort of protection on top of the paint from all the elements.
What is, detailing clay? I've heard of that.
So detailing clay is, say you just washed your car, and maybe while you're washing or while you're drying or after it, your paint feels a little rough. And what that roughness is bonded contaminants or crap from the air that has landed on your car and actually embedded itself into your car's paint. Okay? Which is why I always recommend having some sort of form of paint protection. Because when those contaminants or crap in the air fall on your paint, instead of falling in your paint, it'll actually fall on the wax or the paint protection. Okay. So it's not harming, those contaminants aren't harming your car's paint. They're harming the wax that you can easily reapply. So what the clay is going to do is going to take all those, all that crap out of your paint. So it's going to, essentially, your car's paint has a bunch of pores. Those pores get filled by all this crap, okay? And the clay is going to remove all that crap, which is harmful to your car's paint. So the what the clay doesn't do is remove scratches. It's not going to really remove oxidation. It may a little, but not really. That's going to be more like machine polishing that's going to do that. But the clay is basically most basic form. You have rough paint. You want your paint always to be smooth. The clay is going to help you get from rough to smooth.
Now, I've heard people say that you can use dishwashing detergent. Did I hear you say that you shouldn't use it?
I wouldn't. It's going to be, if you think about it, just with the most basic common sense, what is the purpose of dishwashing liquid in its, you know, truest form? It's to break down grease and crap on your dishes and make them clean. So if you take that same logic and put it over into the detailing and car washing space, you know, the detergent doesn't know the difference between your car's painted surface and a bowl or a plate. So it's going to be doing what it's meant to do. And it's going to be stripping everything off your car. And eventually it'll start to strip the paint. Because you won't have any paint protection for it to strip away anymore, and it'll actually start going after the paint. And I've actually witnessed this myself, you know, with a car when I was, you know, 16, washing my own car, didn't know what I was doing. I was using a lot of dishwashing liquid because it set it up a lot, and I liked that, you know, but it slowly, my towels started to turn the color of my car, and I just started to think, what the heck is going on? And I found out that it's, actually stripping the color right off my paint, right off my car.
Learn by doing.
That's it.
So I do have one more question about the interior. if it has like a slight odor, I mean, does shampooing it, is that the call to action, I guess, to get rid of an odor?
It could. What I like the most for odor removal is actually an ozone machine. So I would start with shampooing, but I'd actually try to move my way up to an ozone machine. And that may be more of a professional grade thing to get the ozone machine. You can buy them on Amazon. But smoke odor, you're probably going to want to shampoo and clean the car out first, and then do something like an odor removal treatment.
So there's still hope for the car, possibly.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely, for sure.
I guess it'd be smoke or if you forgot your windows down and it's like mildewy.
Exactly. Happens all the time. All the time.
Do you have any other topics that I wasn't smart enough to cover?
I don't think so. I think we hit it pretty good.
Now, I mean, in the movies, I mean, everybody usually is like wearing bikinis. Is that how you run your business?
Sometimes. If it's hot and I'm feeling in the mood, I'll go in my birthday suit.
Does the car get as much soap on it as you do? Because I picture you rubbing it all over yourself.
You know, it depends. You know, it depends on the customer. You know, and this goes back to knowing your customer, and it really depends on what they want.
They didn't even want you to touch the car. Let's be honest.
Sometimes it's a pay to play. You know what I mean? And that's how that goes.
Well, on that note, I think I'm good.
Cool. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com for full show notes and links of everything that we've talked about today. And don't forget to check out our resources page for a direct link to all the products talked about not only on today's episode, but that I use in my day-to-day detail business. They have direct links so you can purchase and get free shipping right from that page. That's autodetailingpodcast.com. We'll see you on the next episode.